Let's recall for a moment yesterday's gospel. It was the story of the healing of the woman with the hemorrhage and the raising of the daughter of Jairus. One of the key lines of that gospel came when the news of Jairus' daughter's death was first reported to Jairus and Jesus with him. And that's when Jesus gave this, as a key line, this very important line: do not be afraid, just have faith. Do not be afraid, just have faith. In the Tagalog reading, it was, wag kang mabagabag, manali ka. So mabagabag isn't fear exactly, right? But worry. You know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No. It's a striking thing, maybe in Tagalog, but to say, don't worry about it, at the very time when the news is your 12-year-old daughter just died, it was almost insulting. That's why the crowd took it very badly. And you could imagine Jairus saying, well, I did have faith. I did ask you to cure my daughter before she died. I took that step to put my trust in you, and it didn't work out. And now she's dead. And now you say, don't be afraid, just have faith. Yes, and that's why it's such a striking moment in that gospel, because faith is to allow God's plan to unfold in the right way. It's to willingly participate in what God is doing and allowing God to do what he wants to do. Faith is not to make sure that things happen the way we want. That's not faith. So if Jairus has faith in Jesus to the point where he thinks he can cure him, but he doesn't have faith after the child dies, well, then that's a limitation in his faith. It's not that Jesus is making an unreasonable demand on him. That will be a limit. But Jairus, as far as we know, he did trust that Jesus could still do the right thing, that God is still in charge, and that was right to trust in him. Now, the greatest example of faith is, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary, who said yes to the plan of God, let it be done to me according to your word. Let the whole package of whatever you're talking about, being the mother of the Son of God, whatever that means, I'm saying yes to it. And I'm saying yes to it with my whole heart. That's faith. Mary didn't understand how it was all going to work or what it was all going to mean, because faith doesn't demand complete knowledge, right? It demands enough knowledge to know what we're saying yes to, but not everything. So Mary is the example, yes to God without any conditions, without any demand that it be the way we want, that it be the way she wanted. So that's where we have been launched from that point in yesterday's gospel. Today's readings invite us to reflect on faith again, but with a little less positive approach to it. In the gospel today, Jesus says, we're going to go to the other shore. The crowd gathers. We're going to cross over to the other shore. If you know, in the gospels, this happens a lot. He's crossing the lake a lot of times. Not simply because he likes riding in boats or simply because he wants to get away, but because that's an image for progress in the journey of faith, crossing over, leaving the familiar behind and trusting ourselves to the boat, to the wind, to the seas, and going to a new place. Now, in the case of Jesus and the apostles, they weren't going to brand new places all the time. They were returning back and forth. But still, the symbolism is of progress, of leaving the old behind, the familiar behind, and crossing over a barrier or a threshold to a new stage. And that's what he invites or orders the disciples to do. Now, it's not just we're going to go to the other shore, but this is also symbolic of we're going to take the next step in faith. So you don't know where we're going, but you don't have to know. Just trust me. And that's when this scribe approaches and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." That's a statement of faith, right? And I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to follow you. I will follow you. Great statement of faith. Jesus, though, responds with something rather challenging or and implying that this man, this scribe, may not have really put his whole trust in the Lord. That perhaps in saying, "I will follow you wherever you go," he had an attachment to some positive outcome that he liked. I think I'll be more comfortable with you. I think I'll reign with you. I think I'll be on the winning side with you, and it'll be good for me. Naturally, we think about James and John, right? Asking to sit at the right and at the left. When you're reigning in glory, let us reign in glory with you. that's like saying, I'll go wherever you want as long as we win, as long as we reign in glory. And so Jesus, he doesn't really oppose the man, but he does clarify or correct what he might have been thinking with this strange line. Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Foxes, creatures of the earth, they live under the earth, in holes in the ground. Birds, they fly in the sky and they have nests in the trees. They're also creatures of this world. They have a familiar place, a place where they belong, a place where they can take comfort. And that's as far as their aspirations go, right? Foxes aren't thinking about getting a better den. Birds are not thinking about getting a better nest. They're satisfied with what they have because that's what they're made for. They don't think about a higher level of life, getting a better education, or making more, or anything like that. But they also don't think about the next life. The Son of Man, on the other hand, has nowhere to rest his head. He doesn't mean he has no place to lay down. He can sleep anywhere he wants. He can even sleep in a boat, right? We heard that in this a week ago, Sunday. He was sleeping in the boat, or he was resting his head on a cushion. He means he doesn't belong here, and this is not the place where he's going to take comfort. It's not where he remains in familiar, comfortable territory. That's why he's always going to the other side. There's always somewhere further to go. And ultimately, he's saying, I'm not made for this world. So anyone who follows me has to have that attitude. That attitude that I'm just passing through here, and so I can't cling to anything or make excuses with anything or place conditions on my discipleship, because Jesus doesn't. So to say, I will follow you wherever you go, has to mean what it says, wherever, even if it means going to Jerusalem and to the cross. Because that's what discipleship does mean. Take up your cross, follow in my footsteps, deny yourself. That's part of being a disciple. So I think that's what Jesus is doing in saying to the scribe that the foxes and the birds, they're at this level, but the Son of Man, he belongs on a higher level, and so do you, my disciples. Okay, then comes this second guy who wants to bury his father first, and Jesus hits him with a much stronger response. Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Follow me is the highest priority. Let the dead bury their dead sounds like you're going to abandon dead people in the street. How can dead people do anything for anyone else? Now, he's not saying don't bury the dead. He's not saying that. In fact, the church has a very strong tradition of burying the dead, and that's one of the corporal works of mercy. So, but he is saying, don't make your priority taking care of burying your family members and using that as an excuse not to follow me. Don't put your family higher than the Lord. And that is a challenge of discipleship. Of course we have to. The Lord wants us to love our families. Charity begins at home. But that's relative. Charity really begins in the heart of God. God is love, and it's His love that is the standard and the energizing power of the disciples of Jesus. Okay, so you see what Jesus is doing. He's clarifying, he's purifying, he's challenging, he's making clear what is this faith journey that we're talking about. It's just like saying to Jairus, right after his young daughter died, he doesn't say, I'm sorry that for your loss. He says, do not be afraid. Have faith. Have faith. Trust in me. Manalig ka, he says, manalig ka. So that's the message. Now, the first reading today shows us what happens when we don't make that leap of faith, that step of faith, when we choose to do things our own way. What ends up happening, we can't stay in the middle, right? We can't stay with one foot in this world and one foot in the next. We either are following the Lord or we're not following Him. And these people in the first reading are not following. And so they're going down to the level of foxes and birds, meaning the level of beasts. And that's why this first stanza is a description of such terrible behavior. Three crimes, four crimes, and look at all the crimes. There's more than three or four. There's human trafficking, there's corruption, there's greed, there's immorality with prostitutes, there's betrayal, there's idolatry, going to different altars and drinking in houses of different gods. In other words, there's pretty much every wrong way to do it. And then the second stanza or paragraph, it is the Lord saying, yep, I'm the one who took care of you. I'm the one who cleared the way for you. I'm the one who guided you through the desert and defeated your enemies. So look at what happened here. I treated you very well. I took care of you as my own chosen people, and you have repeatedly refused to follow. And that's when we get to the third paragraph where the Lord says that this is what's going to happen then, because if you're going to reduce yourself to this level, you're going to pay the consequences of your own foolish and evil decisions. You're going to be crushed into the ground. You're going to be defeated. You're going to flee naked. You're going to have you're abandoning everything that I have given you to rely on. And so, what good can come of it? So there's two different ways then to approach the journey of faith. I like the more positive one. I like the exciting adventure of launching out in a new direction and crossing to the other shore with Jesus. The idea of facing even the most terrible experiences, losses, sufferings, with confidence in God, like Jairus. But there is also a negative way of saying it. If you don't want to follow God, if you're going to choose not to follow Him, well then you're going to reduce yourself to this level, which is even worse than the foxes and the birds. It's such a distortion of your own dignity, a person made in my own image and likeness. that it's hard to even ponder it. So whether we need to be frightened or challenged by negative examples, or whether we can be inspired by more positive, exciting possibilities, it's still an invitation to faith. Okay. So do not be afraid. Do not give in to fear. Do not give in to the demands of the flesh or the world or the family or the misplaced priorities of our culture. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's the right answer. And that's what we commit ourselves to as we begin this new month of July 2019.